So let me start with the sermon messages to young people. And it seems a little ironic that they're actually not here. But I think we're all sort of young at heart. And we all sort of know that the person you are inside is still the same person that was there, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, whatever. So I've styled this sermon as a little message to Michael, because Michael, as you know, it's a sermon about a mother to a son, because Michael's just finished uni, and we're kind of worried about him because he's about to start working life, and so this was a golden opportunity to preach to him and for him to accept it very graciously while I'm preaching to him. And so he's in front of the whole church, but he's pretty good about it. He's quite used to it. So the title is Messages to Young People. And as you can see, I've got Apologies to E.G. White, because this is an iconic book in the history of Adventism. But it's not her messages, it's my message. The first message, which I'm going to repeat, which I said to our youngest people, was be brave. And I think it's important to be brave at this point in your life, you know, as a young person, because it doesn't get much better. The older you are, the more you understand consequence. And so now, when you don't really understand the consequence, be brave, because, you know, this is when you can be bold. And there's a phenomena that it's the risk-reward principle. The more you risk, the greater the reward. And the second reason is your parents are still around and haven't turned your room at home into a TV room yet. So you can always move home, Michael, if everything goes very bad or pear-shaped. But finally, the biggest reason why you should be brave at this age is because God is with you. You know, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. I talked about Natalie Carr in my children's story, a 10-year-old who made such a big difference to the life of her father and her brother by rescuing them. There are other very young people who've done amazing things and in their very, very youth, you know. The person I think of is Joan of Arc, who was born almost 600 years ago. And, you know, at a very young age of 12, she began hearing voices. And to have the courage to say that she heard these voices and to go up in front of a panel of people who actually probed her about her voice, the voices that she heard. But she had this mission to free her country from the English and to help the French heir apparent to gain the French throne. And these voices told her to cut her hair, dress in man's uniform, and to pick up arms. And she did that, and she defeated the English on a number of great battles that were quite miraculous. Charles VII was crowned King of France on July the 17th, 1429, and she was given a place of honor next to the king. She died at a very young age. She was 19 years old when she was burnt at the stake because she was captured by the English. And the gratitude of the French were they made no attempt to come to her rescue. In 1456, 20 or so years after her second trial, she was pronounced innocent of the charges against her. But at the age of 19, she'd already lived her life and she made a huge difference. So be brave. I think that's really important. My second message is input, input, input. Very, very important. And because if you are going to become someone of substance, it requires substance. And to gain substance, you need input. And as a Christian, there's really only two things, very, very simple things that you can do for inputs, and that is to read your Bible and pray every day. That's really simple. At the end of the day, that's all you need to do. And these days, when you have technology, these little applications that you can download onto your phone, the Bible is with you 24/7. There's no excuse not to read your Bible every day. And you can talk to God at any time. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." So this is really why it's important to read your Bible and pray every day, because this is the way it's going to guard you and make you focus, refocus every day on Jesus Christ. My third message is, obviously, when you have inputs, you have output. It's quite biological, of course, but in this sense, it is about spiritual output and physical output. Uncle Henry, my brother, not my uncle, but your uncle, said something on Facebook which really meant a lot to me, and I want to share this with you. I haven't asked permission, Henry, so this is what he said on Facebook. "Bible study, prayer, and sharing are the essence of personal growth. It is the parable of the Dead Sea and Galilee. Both get, but only Galilee thrives because it feeds the Jordan. The Dead Sea only receives, but it goes nowhere and consequently has nothing living in it." So don't be the Dead Sea. When you know, you get all this input and it goes nowhere. It's got to be about movement. It's got to be about providing a Christian service. And service is a really important part of our life. I mean, it's something that we have to do, otherwise we don't thrive. And the reason why you do this is so that your light can shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not about you. It's not about getting all these inputs for you. It's about glorifying God. Care for your brother, message four. This is a very personal message. This is Victor and I, won't be here forever, so you need to care for Kieran when we're gone. That's really important. That's been a constant theme in our lives. Kieran is a constant reminder that there are those of us who are less able to care for themselves. And it really makes you focus on those other than yourself. And for the rest of us, we need to care for each other. And we do. Epping Church is very, very good at this. There is a little card that's going around today for one of us who isn't able to be here. We have a prayer list. I see Vanessa caring for Penny, and I see Penny caring for Dawn, and I see Dawn caring for the church. I see Belle caring for Eileen when Ron was away. You know, we care for each other, and we love each other, and this is what makes our church thrive. And this is a real physical. Can't even think right now, but there's so much evidence of caring in this church, and I honestly believe this church is growing because we physically manifest this caring spirit that we have in this church. So this is something that we need to nurture, and we need to make sure that we support and encourage those who do this so well amongst us. There's some people in this church, and you know who you, and we know who you are. They're really, really excellent at caring. Really care for each other. This is a really important text, James 1:27. It says that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is really what our Christianity is about, is to care for people, for those of us who aren't really able to care for themselves. And we as a church are responsible for those amongst us that need our care and attention. Message number 5, don't look at others. Downfall of many Christians. Be able to forgive because people will fail you, and I guarantee that. In our in the Tung family, and I know Henry and I know this, is that there are many in my family who have stopped coming to church. And one of the big reasons why they've stopped coming to church is because they've looked at others and they've said, that person's a hypocrite. This person says something, does something else, or this person does this, this person that. We are all human and we will all fail. And it's so easy to be discouraged by people who fail you. People make mistakes. People sin. Don't look to them. There's a song, and it goes like this, and this is a really old, this is a song I learned when I was very, very young. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that's really what it's about. Don't look at others. Keep looking at Jesus, because he will never fail you. He will always be there for you. Message number 6, always put God first. There will be a lot of opportunities in life. And you will come across many crossroads where you will have to make decisions. And in decision making, always use this criteria. Is this putting God first? Or, as many young people learn, what would Jesus do? I think that's the most fantastic question that our young people are asked today, that our really young kids learned that. What would Jesus do? And that's what you should always remember. What would Jesus do if he were in my situation? And a particular personal message to Michael. I am so worried that you will go to, that you'll get a job in some town where there's no church and that you don't get to fellowship in a community of church, of a Christian church, and that will make you backslide. And that is something that I would rather you be unemployed, Michael, than go to a place like that. Because, and I'd rather you move back home. That's no problem. I'll learn to live with it again. But it's really important that, you know, whatever you do, that you look after your spiritual health first. It doesn't matter wealth, riches, glory, doesn't matter. Because if you get all these things will tarnish and these things will, you know, will fall by the wayside and they come and go. But your spiritual life and your spiritual health comes first. It says in Matthew 6:32, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you then. So the important thing is to seek God first, and everything else will come. Everything else will you'll really learn to prioritize what's important and what's not important. Just seek God first. Message number 7, take the next step. This is the theme for our church next year. And it's really relevant to all of us. And I wanted to end the message, all my 7 messages, with this. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. You know, our life's journey starts by taking the first step. But you know what? One step is not enough. You've got to keep moving, because Christianity is about momentum. It's not about standing still. If you're standing still, it's pointless. It's about moving forward. It's about moving closer to Jesus. And that's what you need to do. Not just take the first step, but take the next step and the one after that and the one after that. Uncle Rod said something at Matt's baptism, and I asked him specifically for the actual words he used. And he said this, and it's very, very profound. The secret to life is to trust in Jesus. So when you take your steps towards Jesus, you need to trust in him that you're doing the right thing. Finally, this is what I've learned so far in life. I'm sort of like, I like to say I'm kind of like middle-aged, but I would be lying. I'm actually past middle-aged because I don't think I'm going to live to 96. So anyway, this is what I've learned so far in life. A Christian life is a beautiful life, full of meaning and joy. And without Jesus, it's all pretty pointless. And you'll get this from all of us here, that without Jesus, there's really no point to life. And that's why there's so much noise and energy outside in the world. They're trying to make up a reason for living. And there is no other reason for living than Jesus. My hope for you, Michael, is that you stay faithful to Jesus and to love him for your entire life. And my hope to the church is that we support each other throughout our lives and keep each other in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.